this weekend, at least on Thursday, it's predicted to be above freezing at 34 degrees, but this weekend dropping back down. So at this point, would there be any possibility of postponing the race, or no matter what happens, we're going to have a race?
There's been no discussion of that at this point. And, you know, you don't have to look too far into the history of the K300 to find times that a race was run in circumstances far worse than that. But it appears, at least for now, like it'll be okay.
We're at 16 mushers registered for the race. Seven of those teams are local mushers, so they won't be having to fly in to the community. But the other nine teams are going to be flying into the community. So will you tell me about the COVID precautions that are being taken during this time to make this race happen safely?
All of the people who are coming in are required to provide proof of a negative test result within 72 hours of travel. Or, of course, proof that they've recovered from COVID in the last 90 days. And then we're going a step further. And when mushers are here with YKHC, we're providing all of the mushers and the handlers a rapid test. And that's going to be done Wednesday and Thursday afternoon this week. So that's the testing piece of it. We're also, you know, dramatically changed how we house the mushers while they're here in the community. Of course, in all other years, we rely on volunteers in the community to share their homes with mushers. And obviously, we can't do that. So we have arranged for lodging at two sites in town, Delta Cottages, which is really perfect for our purposes. You know, the standalone one-unit buildings are just kind of, like I said, they're just perfect. So the majority of those visiting teams are over there. And then we have a few in a Dale Construction bunkhouse, BIA Road. And so, yeah, the mushers will be housed in isolation for the whole time they're in Bethel before and after the race. At this point, it looks like the majority are coming in on Wednesday.
K300 is going to be providing breakfast and dinner for up to two people, musher and handler, for each day. And do you have someone making those meals, or is this like they can order out from restaurants for two meals a day?
This is just an amazing volunteer effort. We're relying on a lot of the people who have hosted mushers in the past and others who are providing those dinners. And then a sponsor, Dehan Aviation, is providing breakfast foods that are going to be left in each mushers unit before they arrive. And the dinners in particular, it's just the community of Bethel still finding a way to support the race and welcome mushers and make them feel like they've got a little home away from home.
So is it like a family that would usually take in a musher kind of adopts a musher for a week and makes them dinner each day? Or is it they're making dinner for all the mushers and handlers?
A little bit of both. So the Delta Cottage units, all of those people have kind of a sponsor for the week. And then there are three or four teams at that Dale Construction bunkhouse. There, we have one person or one family providing dinner for that group of mushers each night.
How else is the race different?
Right from the start of it, we're, for the first time ever, the K300 is going to start with a mass start, which is going to, I think, be really exciting. And most of the mushers I've talked to about that are really excited about it. For sure that spectators who are familiar really enjoy mass starts. We're following a different route this year. The race is going to go about halfway up the traditional trail to a turnaround point near the Bogus Creek checkpoint. And it'll do that twice. They'll go up to that turnaround point and come back to Bethel and then do it again.
And we did see a preview of that route in 2018 when the river was not frozen completely. There were a lot of open holes. And so the race committee decided to do an overland trail up to Bogus Creek and back. Is the race this year going to be on that same overland trail, or will it be along the river?
A little bit of both. When they leave from the start line, they'll be almost completely on the river up to that turnaround point. As they make their way downriver, they'll come to the Tulixac checkpoint, which is going to be a camp near the village of Tulixac. At that point, as they make their way back to the halfway point in Bethel, they'll get onto an overland trail coming back to the Bethel checkpoint. Then after they turn back out, they'll follow that same overland trail to Tulaksac, then be on the river up to the turnaround and on the river back to the finish line.
Tell me more about the Tulaksac camp. Because of COVID, no one from the race is going to enter the village of Tulaksac. What will this camp look like?
The camp is going to be on an island on the main river, a few miles away from Tulaksac. And we have a crew of 8 or 10 people who are going to be there providing food and working as checkers. We're going to have a vet and her assistant up there. We're going to do all the things that our checkpoints usually do, but we're just going to be out at this camp.
How are they going to get water? And then are they going to have warm food available to them? And are they going to have a place to rest, or is that for handlers to set up?
We don't have a building with a hot water supply that we can draw from. You know, these mushers are prepared for that. And it's common practice on the Iditarod Trail to camp between checkpoints frequently. And so we're providing heat, which is an alcohol-based fuel additive that is the most common way mushers on the trail thaw or melt snow. If possible, we're going to have a hole in the ice and be able to draw river water for them, so it's a little quicker than melting snow. But either way, to get hot water, they're going to have to do that on their own, which is, of course, that's a pretty significant change for mushers in the race. There's going to be a large tent exclusively for mushers that's heated. Whether or not it's going to be comfortable enough for them to catch actual sleep, I don't know. Again, they're prepared for that. They've been told to be prepared to camp. And then finally, as far as food, yeah, we have some volunteers are pre-making food. And so there'll be some hot food and then some cold food as well. Everybody will be fed.
Also, turning to the Bethel checkpoint, that's going to be near the fitness center in Bethel. What will that setup look like?
The checkpoint itself, you know, the spot where mushers are actually checking in, to be out on the tundra near the fitness center there, I guess in the area we call the donut hole, right? Teams will be able to park on the tundra over there, I think along the road that wraps around the fitness center. The fitness center facility itself will be open to mushers only. So there they will have a definite place to get warm and lay down on the floor and get some rest. We're going to have a spread of self-serve food laid out in the lobby area, and they'll be able to draw hot water from the sink there in the building. It will only be open to mushers. No race personnel will be allowed in there. The Bethel checkpoint, you know, the outdoor areas of it will be open to spectators. People are encouraged to watch teams come and go. You know, of course, the same expectation for social distancing and mask wearing will be in place, but at the Tulaksac camp, we're really discouraging any spectators that are out on the trail from going there. We really want to keep access to that area limited to mushers and our volunteers. We just really don't want that to turn into a gathering out on the river.
So one thing that's new this year is the K300 challenge and betting that's happening. So why did the race decide to do that, and how can people participate?
Due to the pandemic, the governor had issued an order relaxing laws around online gaming because so many nonprofits in the state are struggling to raise funds. So that opened up the door to doing this for us. The Iditarod has a contest basically the same as this, but because of the restrictions on online gaming, it was really a cumbersome process. That change in the law made it a more manageable thing to us, where we can accept a guest with a form online and accept payment through PayPal. Just makes it a much easier thing to manage. And when it comes to nonprofits who are struggling to raise funds, we're no exception. Our pull tab booth has been closed since October. So this is just an attempt at raising some more funds to keep our purses where they are, and not only this year, but into next year too. And I think it's going to be fun. I think our spectators are going to get a kick out of it.
And how exactly is the money split? So people have to guess several details about the mushers. Do they have to get all those details right to win? And then if someone wins, how much goes to the winner? How much goes to the race?
Each contestant guesses who they think will win the race. That mushers elapsed time, how many dogs they'll have in harness at the finish line. Each guess costs $10. There's no limit to how many times a person can submit a guess. The elapsed time and number of dogs in harness, those are kind of tiebreakers. Say Pete Kaiser wins the race. We'll look at all the people who guessed Pete Kaiser. Secondarily, we'll look at the elapsed time. And if there's still any tie, then would look to the number of dogs in harness as the final tiebreaker. The pot will be split 50-50, with 50% going to the winner or winners and 50% going to K300.
Is it like the breakup guesses where whoever gets closest to the actual time wins, or do you have to get it exact or no money?
It's whoever's closest.
And is there a limit on how much people can spend?
Nope.
Have you gotten any bets so far?
You know, admittedly, it's been a little slow. Maybe people are waiting until closer to the race. We've had some guesses trickling in.
There are also a few other things that are different this year. Some of those are the visual award ceremony and online auction. When is that happening? How can people participate?
Anybody who's been following the race for a while knows that each year at the award ceremony, we have an auction. Some of it is a silent auction, and then there are some live auction items. Once we made the decision to not have an in-person award ceremony, well, there was some question whether or not we'd have an auction at all, but we found an excellent volunteer in Colin McDonald, who has some experience conducting online auctions. And so he's been instrumental in helping put that together for us. So that's actually live now, and it'll be live all week. People can start bidding today up until, I think, Sunday at 5 p.m. All of the auctions will end. We have more items up for auction than we did last year, and some really cool stuff, local crafts. There's a couple of Alaska Airlines vouchers. There's 2 hours of flying time with Papa Bear and much more. Yeah, you know, I can talk about the virtual award ceremony too. You know, of course, that is the biggest indoor gathering that's part of the race in a normal year, 300 plus people packed into the cultural center. And so that was basically the first thing to go when we started adjusting our plans. So we'll have kind of a shortened version of that that's going to stream on Facebook Live. And that'll be Monday, February 15th at 7 p.m. And it'll follow the usual format. It'll only be for the K300 mushers. We'll just give out awards, and we'll be able to hear from mushers, you know, some thank yous and stories from the trail. So I think it'll be pretty cool.
And then what about this remote headquarters? What does that mean, and what does that look like?
So headquarters is typically in the conference room at the Longhouse Hotel. And it, too, is a gathering point. And we kind of have some archival stuff out for people to check out. We have the tracker up on a projector and coffee and food. And so people just kind of come and go throughout the race weekend and visit. There's merchandise sales there, but there's also important work that happens. That's where we receive all the communications from checkpoints regarding mushers coming and going and how many dogs they're dropping and how much rest they're taking, all that. All that communication comes to headquarters and then is disseminated by, you know, our leaderboard on the website and so on. So because, again, it's an opportunity for an indoor gathering, we just decided to forego it completely. And instead, we'll have the volunteers who do that work to receive the information from checkers and then input it on our website. They're going to be doing that work from home. It obviously poses some challenge. We'll be doing it with a smaller crew than normal. And so there may be some delay in getting that information up on the website. We had a test run of using this system during the Bogus Creek 150 last week, and it went fairly well.
Is there anything else at this point that would be good to know that we haven't covered?
Yeah, I'd like to talk a little bit more about the start of the race, I guess. The decision to do a mass start was thinking that our board was boy, we've established this system for mass starts this season with our local races and the Bogus Creek 150, where we're pre-assigning bib numbers and there are designated parking spots at the start line that are, you know, is keeping teams and crews separate. And it's worked really well. Why don't we do that for the 300 too? This makes a lot of sense in terms of COVID safety as well for our spectators, because we won't have people crowded around a starting chute. Typically, people at a mass start seem to park their vehicle or snow machine out along where the teams are going to go, and it's just naturally more spread out. But it also happens much quicker. When we do a staggered start with two teams at a time, it takes 20 minutes or more, depending on how many teams there are. That was like a lingering area of concern. You know, we didn't want to prohibit spectators, but we really didn't want there to be the opportunity to truly gather either. So this kind of solves those problems, but I think it's also going to be really cool, really exciting.
Anything else we should cover?
Yeah, let's talk about the Accyac Dash for a quick minute. The Accyac Dash will start on Saturday the 13th at 2 p.m. That's all normal. But there are a couple changes this year. There is going to be no checkpoint at Accyac, and there is no one-hour layover. It'll just be a straight 65-mile race with no stopping. Of course, will mean that racers return to Bethel a little bit earlier than normal. It'll be another exciting Accyac Dash. We're likely to have a pretty big field in the Dash.